Following Lee and Miracle Jimaka to you all. We welcome you to another exciting voyage on Pacific Island Tales with Ruth and Isi. On this Christmas Eve episode, we welcome our dear friend and brother, Scott Baker, who spent 2 years in the Kingdom of Tonga, learning the language and culture of the people, while sharing a message of peace and serving his fellow neighbors. Welcome, Scott. Do you have a Tongan name, Scott?
The people, I guess the little nickname they call me is Tolotolohama.
He's called by the people of Tonga as Tolotolohama. I'm going to give the time to him to tell you a little bit more about him and his family and how he's going to Tonga. I guess that's the part of the Pacific he ends up in. Okay.
Hi, my name is Scott Baker, born and raised in Mesa, Arizona. I'm married to Saini Pasifiki Tonga Baker. We've been married since 1999. We have a wonderful daughter. Her name is Tupo Veongo Iolani Ka'ui Baker. She's running track right now at MCC. And I count her as two since she's half Tongan, half Balangi. So when people ask me how many kids I have, I tell them I have two. Well, you know, but yeah, she's a blessing to us, and a great blessing for us. I coach football over at Red Mountain High School. I coach punters and kickers, and I work at American Airlines close to retirement, and I have a little catering business on the side that I do. And I got back into collecting sports cards, something that I am enjoying too on the side. That's about it.
Yeah. What's your favorite pastime now?
It has to be just hanging out with family. That's just hanging out with family and being with friends and seeing what everyone's been up to. It's just things are winding down, really. Things have gotten real fast in life.
Yeah.
I can't believe my daughter's already in college, and just seems like yesterday she's just, you know, crawling around on the carpet and, you know, rolling around, and now she's close to, she's an adult now. But I told her she's not an adult yet until she's 21, because she's Tongan. So we hold that to the extent on that.
Yeah, you keep her to her Tongan tradition and culture, huh?
Absolutely.
Could you tell our listeners, how did you meet your wife? Or is it your better half? How did you meet her, and was there any challenges in your marriage, a different culture in yours?
Challenges, I wouldn't say as the culture, because I had great parents. So in a lot of ways, my parents were like Tongans in the Tongan culture, the way they're bringing up us. I'm the youngest of six kids. My mom just passed away. Funerals this week, but we had a. It was a blessing that one of my best friends, who I call my brother, is Moni Ongi Lau. He ended up staying with us and living with us, and we went to high school together, and his older cousin Ray Ongi Lau stayed with us too as well, and he went to school with my older brother. So I think in a lot of ways my parents, so it wasn't a culture problem at all whatsoever, because we already loved the Tongan people, and it was a blessing to be going to Tonga. But my wife, I met my wife, actually she was a missionary, and she finished in 92, I finished in 91. We're in the same zone. I had no intentions, no, all I knew was Sister Tonga. And I came across, we ran into each other in 1999. and she came to the States in 1995. I guess she was gonna go get sealed and to someone else. She was engaged, and then that fell through, and then she ended up coming here to the States with her dad. And her dad, she was supposed to go back with her dad, but her dad, Pacific Tonga, left her here. So, and anyways, I made contact with her. She just happened to be coming across. She was working in Utah, and she was flew into Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport. She got my phone number through the Ongi Lau family, and so they're in Utah. And so she called, and next you know, we talked a lot, long phone bills, and so then we met up, and we were married and sealed in August of 1999, August 7th.
That's a wonderful romantic engagement. Yeah. But you didn't know her when you were in the mission.
No, I didn't. I just knew her sister Tonga. We're in the same zone, and that, no, I didn't. No, absolutely. People always say, "Hey, okay, I see how you met," but no, got to know her here when. 1999 is when I came in contact with her.
Yeah, you said there was not any, there's not any difficult adjustment to culture. From your point of view, I guess I'll have to ask Amy herself if she had any difficulty. I'm sure there's, because you are from different culture and different nations.
Yeah.
We do things differently as a family, as well as a nation and a different race. That didn't seem to deter you from your willingness to go ahead with that commitment.
Yes. Yeah, it was a blessing. We get along great.
Yeah, do you raise your Tupoviong like a Palangi would, or would you say you're raising it like she's a Tongan?
I raise her. We try to raise her as a like Tongan way, which is I think it's very important. She understands both cultures, but she gravitates to the Tongan culture more, because there's a lot more respect, a lot more loving, a lot more giving, and she has a Tongan heart. It's just kind of hard maybe for her being kind of like the only child and things like that, but she's really smart. My daughter definitely doesn't take after me. That's all she's been around as adults, and so she knows a lot of things, and she understands Tongan and things and stuff. But yeah, she loves the Tongan culture and things like that.
Her name is so Tongan. Tupoviong is a royal family name, which makes it even more difficult for her to choose anything else other than that culture she's been raised in. Yeah, that's really cool. Thank you very much, Scott.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-218-4909. 800-218-4909. Again, that's 800-218-4909.
In an emergency, you may not have time to gather everything you or your family needs to be safe. You need your emergency essentials all in one place. And the R72 Grab-and-Go Vest is the best place to keep those essentials. The R72 Grab-and-Go Vest eliminates the single-use concept. Users can simply add or remove any of the 8 modular bags, flotation panels, and customize a backpack for both emergency preparedness and adventure needs. For radio listeners today, use coupon RADIO10 for 10% off your order. RADIO10 for 10% off your order at r72.com.
Hey, can you go back and tell the listeners again? I know you touched base a little bit on your first encounter with Tonga, and then you got called to go to Tonga. Share with the listeners, what was that like?
I remember I came home. It was on when I received my mission call. I remember I was playing a softball tournament there in Tucson, and I came back with a couple of my friends, Chad Lasuer and Kyle Hesting. And we came back, and I told them, I say, yeah, take my mission call is here. And they're like, no, it hasn't been 2 weeks. And I said, I don't know, I just have a feeling. And he said, well, you just sent out the papers. And I said, well, I just have a feeling it might be there. And I came home, and my mom had my mission papers, the letter, and says, hey, I think your mission, this might be your mission call. And anyways, I was waiting for my Tongan brother, Moni, to come back, but he was doing a luau with Lonnie Sakahama and Louis Sakahama. Make long story short, I ended up, I said, you know, I just want to open it up. And so they filmed it, and back then you couldn't do things live, you know, like how they do nowadays, but they have it on video. But I opened it up, I didn't want anyone to see it, and I just kind of like reading it to myself, and then I told him, say, hey, I'm going to Tonga. And they said, yeah, my mom was like, no, this isn't funny. And that, and there was like, no, I said, no, I'm going to Tonga. And then they could see the seriousness on my face. They said, there's no way. And I said, I'm going to Tonga. So I quickly threw down the papers. And the first person they called was the Sakahama family. And Lonnie Sakahama answered the phone. And I told him, I said, hey, I'm going to Tonga. And he says, you know, you shouldn't be joking around. I said, no, I'm going to Tonga. He says, when you're serious, you can call me back. And he hung up on me. And then I quickly called him again. I said, Uncle Lonnie, I'm going to Tonga. And he says, no, you know. And he says, let me see the papers. And so they lived like a block away. So we went over there and knocked on the door. He quickly grabbed the papers and he shut the door and leaving me outside. And then he opened up the door, and Sister Sakahama opened the door, and they're both crying. I was crying. Excuse me, I'm emotional about it, just even thinking about it. And they told me inside, and then Sister Sakahama told me, and says, go pack all your suitcase and everything. For the next 2 months, you'll be living with us. And we're going to teach you Tongan and things. And so we know you know the Tongan culture, but now it's time to learn the Tongan language. And by Sakahama, I remember he couldn't believe it either. None of my friends could believe it. I used to ask, I'm in high school, they're having Moni as my brother and Ray Angela is my brother. I am going to the Tongan ward on Sundays. I go to the Balangi ward, then I go to the Tongan ward afterwards. And I fell in love with the Tongan people. And I would ask in my personal prayers, ask Heavenly Father to send me there. I wanted to go if it was to be. And that's all I kept on hearing was saying, Lonnie Sakahama and other people said, well, you know, they only send 4 Balangis each 2 years, and I don't think you'll be one of them. I said, well, I'm going to ask to go. And then nowadays, I guess there's a lot of Balangis over there in Tonga now, but I was very, very blessed and fortunate to be going to Tonga, and I'm thankful for that.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you very much. Hey, so now you are in the mission field in Tonga, you called Tonga. I remembered when you came in. I think I want you to maybe tell the listeners, what's your first impression?
I knew, of course, where Hawaii was, everything else, but I knew Tonga was a little small island, and be going to the Tonga ward. Even then when I remember I arrived, I arrived in Tonga. I was supposed to be there, I think, like at 8 at night. I remember when I flew, it was just February 8th, and there was Hurricane Ofa had just hit Samoa. And I was supposed to arrive in Tonga at 8 o'clock, and I think you picked me up like at 4:30 a.m. or something like that. We were flying on Hawaiian Airlines, and I remember, and you were pretty restless. And so, oh, you're supposed to be here. Obviously, you knew that the plane was going to be delayed. Yeah, I remember arriving there to Tonga. We went to the mission home, and there was Moni Angila's older brother. He had a couple of pigs and fruit and then baskets, and you thought you thought it was for you, but then he says, I'm sorry, President, this is for Elder Baker. And I had an envelope, and I gave it to him because his parents were over here, Sonia and Sue Angila. They're in Utah, and I gave it to them, and you looked at me like, are you sure you're Balangi? and I says, well, I think you're going to be the only Balangi who didn't go to the MTC here in Tonga. Tomorrow, you're going to go to the bush. I'm sending you to the bush. And they sent me to, I stayed like 2 days at the mission home. And I remember you sent me to my first place that I served at was Havila Luku with Elder Lawaki. I remember that quite well.
That's really cool. Thank you very much, Scott. It gives the listeners some idea about where you went in the Pacific, huh? The island of Tonga.
Malolele, are you interested in learning the Tongan language? One of the best ways to get started is by learning useful Tongan words. Order a copy of the Tongan Dictionary today. Just search Tongan Dictionary on Amazon.com. Find the one created by Create Out Loud for the best price and the easiest way to start learning Tongan today.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Are you looking for good Christmas reading? You can find our book titled The Tender Mercies of the Lord in the Tongan Nukualofa Mission, 1989-92. It includes stories from young men and young women who had experienced the Lord's tender mercies while laboring in the Lord's vineyard. Go to Amazon.com, search for Isileli and Ruth. Look for our book, The Lord's Tender Mercies, and click on it to get you a copy. Again, go to Amazon.com, search for Isileli and Ruth, I-S-I-L-E-L-I and Ruth, R-U-T-H. Then click on the Tender Mercies of the Lord book and get a copy to enjoy this Christmas. Enjoy the tender mercies of the Lord during this Christmas season, and thank you. Now, do you have any favorite food?
Yeah, it might sound funny though, but I like to buy hoo-hoo. Yeah, but lupulu. I love lupulu. Yeah, it's really good. I've had cat, bat, horse,
yeah,
beca, eating everything from the ocean. But I love lupulu.
Or do you still make lupulu here?
Yes, I do. But not as good as some of the families there in Tonga that I stayed with. Well, I did stay with the family, the seven boys, the Dalfelungake family, and they I was in awe that they, all seven of them, were all fishermen, and they worked for the Dateline Hotel, but they would go and get the lobster and they bring it back and the shrimp, and the dad asked me, he says, Elder Baker, why do Americans love, or people love, lobster so much? And they're on the menu, it's pretty expensive. And I said, you want to know why? I was laughing about it. He says, no, it says melt that butter right there. So he melted the butter and then he put some garlic in and everything else. He said, now dip the lobster. And he did. So, oh, that's good. And I said, that's why it's $25. That's a $25 butter cube there.
Did you experience anything that you would be considering a challenge or a difficult thing for you to do while you were in Tonga?
The language. Oh. I mean, at the first part, I mean, I really loved the people, and the Lord had said, you know, you can't teach people if you don't love them, but I really loved them. But it was kind of like about the scripture, you know, first seek to obtain my word, and then your tongue shall be loose, and be able to, you know, speak the language at that time. That was, to me, you know, I loved all my companions. They were compassionate, they were helpful and everything else, but I just got frustrated. I was a little hard on myself too at times, because I love the people so much that I wanted to get the point across. And, you know, that I asked Heavenly Father to send me there, and here I am. Wanted to do the best I could. I think that was it. I didn't have any problem with the culture. Didn't have any problems with the, you know, food. No bapu when I was there. you know, there is no electricity, there is no Taco Bell, there is no KFC or fast food restaurants. And it's basically a good thing I got my Wilderness Survival Merit Badge when I was in Boy Scouts, because every meal was cooked over a fire, you know, whatever it may be. And food was scarce. You lived off the ocean, and sometimes you didn't know where the food was going to be. So sometimes you just got to eat a coconut, drink a coconut for a day, or pineapple, or any kind of whatever's there. And like I said, there's no electricity, no stoves, no nothing. But I didn't complain. You know, it was just, that was just like camping. You know, we built, my companion and I, we built our Paletonga, which is, coconut house, kind of like Gilligan's Island. Yeah. But I wouldn't change it for a thing. It's a great thing. But I think those were the challenges, more like the language, for me anyways.
I remember days when you would come and would have our interview. For some reason, I always felt that you didn't need to learn the Tongan language. You already love the people. That's the best language you could ever have. So, would you mind sharing with the listeners? I know you have been all over the island of Tonga. Share your first experience in Ngāpapu, and then maybe it could end up with a couple of miracles that happened to you in the island.
Yes. My first companion was Elder Moimoia with Ngāpapu. He was being picked up from Hapai. We remember riding the Lulu Dahi at that time. We rode all the way to Vava'u. And I remember we got to Ngāpapu. We stayed at the Neafu Vava'u with Elder Puafisi and Elder Angila, the APs. And woke up the next morning, rode the boat back to Ngāpapu. And Ngāpapu, the people live on a hill. It's a mountain. You have to climb. It's a steep climb, and you have to climb up there. But I'll never forget, though, because a lot of these little kids have never seen a balangi before. And the parents are there. I could hear them whispering, a balangi. You know, there's a balangi elder. And I could hear them in Tongan talking. I remember getting to the top, and a lady and dad was like, "Oye, oye, fo'i balangi, he da'ilata," meaning like the balangi is going to be quitting, he's going to be homesick. And I answered back to him, you know, in Tonga, and says, "Kapadege de mosio ke a balangi, ala mai." And then I told him, I said, "If you see the balangi, let me know." And then I think they're shocked. And but I remember seeing the little kid. He was 4 years old. He was crying. He thought I was a ghost or something. Mm. But anyways, Elder Moimoia, the second companion after that was Elder Tu'uta, and then Elder Moteliki came. And I was already now going on my 8th month. I remember, back up a little bit, I remember after my first interview with you, you asked me if you saw how much weight I lost. I didn't realize it. You know, all I knew was my Tongan was improving, and I was happy. And you asked me if I wanted, you know, love know if you're hungry, if you want to transfer, you know. And I said, I'm good, President. And but anyways, but back to Elder Moteliki, we were there, and I remember the second night, I shown Elder Moteliki around and the people. And I remember we went back, the Kivalu family, Fono Kivalu. He was the one who took care of the missionaries and helped us with our needs and anything we needed, and he fed us. And I remember one time we're going over to the Beto, and I could see the happiness that their son Henley and Makoni. Makoni's 8 years old, and Henley's 9 years old. And I noticed on the table there, and they were really excited to be thinking they're going to be eating it. And awesome. Then Fono came in and he says, "Elders, go ahead and eat." And then Makoni and Henley are looking at us and they're smiling. And I offered. I said, "Here, come help us eat." And I was fighting back tears, and so was Elder Moteliki. And we're, you know, here Fono went all of his way to get this, and it was hard to get, you know, because you have to deep down, you have to hold your breath, and they didn't have no scuba gear or anything like that. He just went down, hold his air for like 30 minutes. the 40 seconds and come back up for air. And then, but he brought this up, and I'm just thinking about all the sacrifice that he did to get this. And here these little kids wanted it, but at the same time too, they didn't want it. And I asked him, hey, how okay, you know, come and help us eat. And then Hennedy and Malconia just smiling, shaking their heads, and saying, no, Kai Koi, Elder Baker, someday we'll remember this. And today we go without just to see you guys eat. And this is an island that, remember, no electricity, no nothing, no restaurants, no nothing. And these little kids are teaching me a lot of sacrifice, and willingly at this young age, and knowing the blessings would be blessed upon them. That was one of the experiences I experienced. Well, back up even more, I forgot to tell you, present, when I first got there, first Sunday, this island is, like I said, has taught me a lot, not just the island, but the Tongan people, but especially on these islands, when you go to, I was kind of laughing inside thinking, when I got to Papu, the first Sunday, I'm thinking, okay, there's one family, it's the Kibale family, and I'm thinking, oh, this is probably be about an hour sacrament service and then be over with. Boy, was I wrong. The family had the Kibale family. They, that Sunday, all, doesn't matter how many people, but there was a total of 9 people, and all 9 people did the whole 3 hours of Sunday service. So you had your sacrament meeting, you know, primary, and also priesthood. And I'll never forget those. Obviously the first ones to speak and introduce ourselves. And I remember Elder Moimoi getting up and he says, my name's Elder Moimoi, I'm from Hawaii. And I turned the time over to Elder Baker because he needs to work on his tongue. So I'm sitting there trying to speak for 40 something minutes. And the Bono told me, says, you got to speak all the way till the end. So anyways.
All of that was done in Tongan.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a quick way to learn the language, huh?
Yeah. I didn't know whether to hug my companion or kick him, but he helped me out. But the things that I learned from there, from that family, the young age. I learned a lot from the island, and I remember the first 2 weeks were kind of tough, such as, like, you know, we went around tracking, and I mean, you could track the whole island, you know, all in one day, but we started, like, noticing, like, you know, we would ask people questions, but they wouldn't really answer. It was just short sentences and things, and they said, we're busy and everything else. And we noticed that they're building a Wesleyana church, and from the ground zero. And I told all my money, we both agreed, say, hey, let's just go and help them. You know, we both believe in Heavenly Father, and in this way, maybe we can teach the lessons at the same time. And Elder Moimoi and I told him, say, hey, look, dude, the cluster, they eat 3 times, and so it's good. And but we wanted to go over there and help them. And as we did, I noticed that the tension or whatever walls was that were up were brought down, and they're friendly, they're opening the doors, we're helping them. We were teaching the plan of salvation, and we found out a lot of things we had in common and things, and they're asking questions, we're answering the questions. I was talking to the Fife Kau, and had a great conversation, and we're working really hard and seeing their church being built. And at the same time too, you know, how they have breaks in between their lunchtime. And I first got up and I leaned over to Elder Moimoi. I said, hey, Rofia tu fai halea. I want to stand up and give a speech. And he's like, tell me no, no. And I said, no, my tongue is improving. And I remember standing up and the people were shocked. And I said, Rofia tu fai halea, or Milo, you know, tell them and introduce them and everything. And Fakatapu ke kele kele, to start off in the dirt. They say malo, and I tell them, you know, it was a blessing to be amongst my brethren. And I told them I was there. They called to Tonga, and I told them how I got called to Tonga. And here I am, and you are my family. And I wanted to help them, and it's a blessing, and it's having fun to be around them and to help them build a church and you can worship and things. And those, you know, they were very friendly, opened their doors where we walked. They wanted to feed us. They'd bring us things at night. They weren't even LDS, but they respected us and they made sure we're well taken care of and things. So things like that was just really special to me. And that island means a lot to me. All the Tonga Islands mean a lot to me, but that was where I spent my most time, was in Oʻahu for 9 months. And I remember the first time when I was, I remember late at night, you know, they didn't have the TVs or anything like that, so you had to listen to the radio. I think you might remember this. We were calling for me to be transferred. And the radio station, it came about, and next you know, this guy that I became friends with, he was the one who was like telling me when I first got there, his name is DuPont. He's telling me, "Itai lata balang." He came over and late at night, he brought me some hot cocoa and some bread. And he says, "Did you hear?" And I said, "Hear what?" And he says, "You got to catch the Olovaha tomorrow at 9 a.m. And I said, "What?" And he's like, "Yeah, you're being transferred." And then another family came over and told me too. He says, "Hilda Baker, you're going to be transferred." And they brought over some bread and things. And I was hurt, you know, and we talked, and then he told me, he says, "You're right, there never was a Balangi who was Da'ilata, and I was wrong about that. He says, you're one of us. Sorry." This just brings back memories and things. Anyways, I remember going down, and then waking up in the morning and going down to the wharf where I was going to be catching the boat in order to go be transferred. And before I got there, some people ran down, Elder Baker, telephone me. And I said, "What?" Well, I mean, the first thing I think was like, you know, first of all, the phone there in Nopapu, it only runs by solar. And that's the only thing that you want to consider electrical, whatever, but it would only run by solar. And I remember going up there, I thought, well, something must be happening to my family or something, and the president's trying to get a hold of me. And I went up there, and then I got to the phone booth, and I looked back, and there was quite a few people behind me. And then I answered, and said, "Well, hello," and then the Malay, he was Elder Baker, this is President Kalaika. I was hi, President. So I'm catching the boat right now, so I guess I gotta be there for I'm going to Felemea Hapai, right in the Olovaha. And he says, there's a chain. It looks like Elder Moimoi, he'll be the one being transferred." And I said, "So what?" And anyways, I guess someone had called you and asked if I could stay. And
that was the only thing that ever happened to me. Nobody has ever called me and asked for their missionaries to stay. Every time we have a transfer, everybody was glad to move. and this one, I think it was the town officer who called, and he said, "President, please don't transfer our missionary. We're just beginning to learn. He is such a loving missionary. He loves us and we love him. Give us a few more months with him." So that's the reason why I call. I told you you're going to stay.
Yeah. So
I hope that call was an okay call for you.
Oh, I love it. I loved it. I loved it. And I ended up staying there for 9 months. And then Elder Motoliki came. And I remember that I just show him around and back to the thing. I'm just kind of like jumping around stories. But one of the things that really happened is stood out after that time with Henali and Marconi. A few days later, Fono went out and he said, "Let's see if I can get, basically says, see what I can catch today." And I was trying to convince him, you know, "Hey, we can just eat some fruit today." And he said, no, we're gonna go over here. I'm gonna try to see what I can get. Maybe get some fish today or whatever the Lord provides." And I remember walking over to the wharf and also them walking back to the other side of the island where it's really, really deep ocean. And he put on his goggles and he got his spear thing and he went down and hold his breath for 30 seconds, come back up. And he said, "I don't see anything." And I said, "Well, spot." So he go down and close breaths for 30, 40 seconds. And meantime, I told Elder Motulike, I said, hey, look, I'm waiting inside with my sandals. I'm going to try to find something, some kind of, you know, whether it be a octopus or theke or whatever. I'm going to turn rocks over, find something. Because he does this all the time, you know. Anyways, I was getting frustrated because I couldn't even find anything. And usually you turn a rock over, you find something or whatever. Anyways, Elder Motulike, he's known I've been over there for quite a few months on this island. And he could see I was being frustrated about it. And I started kicking the water, and then the funnel coming up, and he's like, I don't see one fish. I don't see anything. Says, I'm gonna keep checking. So he says, he goes back down, and another Motuliki says, Elder, let's pray. Let's pray. And I said, okay. And we prayed, and we finished the prayer, and just kind of like waited, just silence amongst us, just him and me, and looking over at each other. And I was walking down, just a little way, about 15 yards away, looking down, look down the ground inside the water, and see if there's any fish, and nothing at all. And turn back, and then next thing you know, fish started popping up amongst our feet. I looked at Elder Motulike, and I told Elder Motulike, and he says, quick, Elder Brick, get him. This is no coincidence. This is a miracle. We're throwing the fish along, and the funnel come up for air. And he says, I knew the Lord would provide. He said, there's the fish. He got out and did the thing, and we had enough fish for the family and the neighbors. And I'll never forget that. I can't deny it either. But to have that, witness that, and to see the love of the Lord and blessing someone sacrificed, the family and the people in Opapa, I'm blessed that it's a reminder to me that the Lord is there and does care and love us and then wants to help us do that. I'll never forget that.
Well, thank you very much. You have shared some miracles, you have shared some wonderful opportunities, and you have shared some difficulties.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less, guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-218-4909. 800-218-4909. Again, that's 800-218-4909.
Natural disasters are occurring more frequently and impacting growing numbers of people and communities. All 50 U.S. states have had disasters declared over the past 5 years. A recent survey by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA, found that nearly 60% of American adults have not practiced what to do in a disaster. In an emergency, you may not have time to gather everything you or your family needs to be safe. You need your emergency essentials all in one place, and the R72 Grab-and-Go Vest is the best place to keep those essentials. The R72 Grab-and-Go Vest eliminates the single-use concept. Users can simply add or remove any of the 8 modular bags, flotation panels, and the many other accessories included, and customize a backpack for both emergency preparedness and adventure needs. For radio listeners today, use coupon RADIO10. For 10% off your order. Again, use RADIO10 for 10% off your order at r72.com. RADIO10 for 10% off your order at r72.com.
Malolele, are you interested in learning the Tongan language? One of the best ways to get started is by learning useful Tongan words. Order a copy of the Tongan Dictionary today. Just search Tongan Dictionary on amazon.com. Find the one created by Create Out Loud for the best price and the easiest way to start learning Tongan today.
We're coming to almost the end of our podcast. What I would like you to share with me now is I'll just share this last part, then you take over from there. I remember when you came home after we told you it's time for you to go home and be released. You came home. You came to the mission home. You were brought there. And I know Sister Kongaika looked at you and she said to me, we can't send that elder back to his parents. Look at what he has. He has only one shirt and the shirt is all muddy and he has no shoes on. So I remember asking you what happened to the baker. I want you to tell the listeners what actually happened.
I remember you asking me and you guys were really concerned and said, where's your suitcase? And I said, I gave it away. And then so where's your other shirts and everything else? And said, this is all I have. I said, what happened to him? So I gave it away. And I said that Tongan Way is giving and sharing. And so all I had was just my white t-shirt. It was muddy. It was a beat up tie. And the main thing is I had my name tag, you know. And but yeah, I gave everything away. And that's, you know, Tongan Way. I love the Tongan culture. It's blessing you. I think the Tongan Ulunganga Fakatonga, the Tongan way is like, you know, Fakapapa, Hofa, Mofuaki. And you got to be careful. You know, that's the Christ-like way is the Tongan way, because everything's giving. You share. I mean, I don't know what other culture there is on the face of the earth. If I don't know how many times you walk by and somebody, whether you know somebody or not, I tell my friends and all the time, I said, be careful. If you ever go inside a Tongan house, be careful that you like something because they're going to give it to you. And I said, the other part too says, I tell them too, other culture is like, if you're walking down the road, whether I know you or not, and I'm meeting, my culture, the Tongan culture is to tell you the ha'okai, which means come and eat. And I don't know any other culture, you know, that does that to strangers. And that's always stuck with me. And I don't think twice about giving, because I was given and shown love in the Tongan way of the Tongan Islands.
Thank you very much, Scott. You know, I remember my wife's admonition to me. He said, I'm going to go and get some clothes for this elder and some shoes, so that he can go home and his parents won't think we didn't take good care of you. I remember Mom went and got you some clothes and got you some, I think he tried to put you in a little bag to send you home.
Yeah.
But, you know, Baker, we enjoyed your service with us. We learned a lot from you. And you taught a lot of missionaries when you were there, let alone teaching the other folks you were sent to help serve. This is the end of our broadcast, and we are happy to select this so that we can do it towards the 24th of December, which is Christmas Eve. This will be our Christmas broadcast. I hope that the listeners will take something from this broadcast and apply it to your Christmas. There's so much giving, there's so much sacrifices, there's so much love in this broadcast, but you can't help but be thinking that that's what Christmas is about. It's about loving. It's about giving. It's about sacrifice. For without those things, I don't think we would have any Christmas. The joy of Christmas. Thank you very much, Scott. Appreciate you. And please tell the audience, how can they get a hold of you? Do you have a social media where they can get a hold of you if they have any questions?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I think it's my barbecue logo.
Okay.
And also, my email address is islandstylebbqfoodtruck@gmail.com.
Okay. And your name on your Facebook is just?
Just Scott Baker.
Scott Baker.
And, Yeah, no, see, my logo, my barbecue logo's a pig, and he's carrying a surfboard with food, and he has an open Aloha shirt, and he's throwing the hang loose sign.
There you go. Everybody gives Scott a shout on his Facebook discover. And Scott, you tell Sammy and Tupoviongo, just tell them how we miss them and tell them that we love them. And you guys have a Merry Christmas, all right?
Just, you too.
Just have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas, President. Tell Sister Kangai Tofa to
Malo. Yeah, Malo. We hope you have enjoyed this Christmas episode with Scott Baker. We want to also thank KJJC 1230 AM Radio, Salt Lake City, Utah, for airing our Pacific Island tales. We hope you will all have a joyous Christmas season and a new year filled with the love of God and His tender mercies. As they say in Hawaii, Mele kai ki maka and Hawoli makai ki ho. Are you looking for a good Christmas reading? You can find our book titled The Tender Mercies of the Lord in the Tonga Nukualofa Mission, 1989-92. It includes stories from young men and young women who had experienced the Lord's tender mercies while laboring in the Lord's vineyard. Go to Amazon.com, search for Isileli and Ruth. Look for our book, The Lord's Tender Mercies, and click on it to get you a copy. Again, go to Amazon.com, search for Isileli and Ruth, Isileli and Ruth, R-U-T-H. Then click on the Tender Mercies of the Lord book and get a copy to enjoy this Christmas. Enjoy the tender mercies of the Lord during this Christmas season. And thank you.